that sometimes those relationships are hard. It's difficult to be married sometimes. Now, I know some people would say, I remember I was doing an India presentation one time, and I may have told you this, and I was at a place, and I knew the couple up toward the front, and I was talking about in India, there's arranged marriages. And I said, we have to learn to love our spouse, and sometimes they're hard to love. And I asked that lady, I said, now, is your husband, I knew him, I said, he always been easy to love? She said, oh, yes, he's always been just so easy. I thought, boy, she's losing it now. We forget, don't we? Sometimes we forget the hard times that we have as husbands and wives. It's difficult to be married. It's never going to be easy, especially when you get started there for the first little bit. Man, you're just so in love, you could eat each other, right? And then what they say, you wish you did. And that's just the way it goes. It's tough. My son texts me, just got married, 2 weeks ago? He texts me a picture Friday night of 2 Amazon packages in front of his door. And he said, Dad, it's begun. And I said, I told you, get used to it. You know, that's just, if David doesn't knock on my door with a package every day, he thinks we've died or something. And we fight about things like that. And this is a lesson that I used in a gospel meeting at Livingston last year. And in studying this lesson again, I realized I need this lesson again. In fact, I probably need this lesson every little bit. My wife would tell you every other day. But our marriage is something we need to work on. Our marriage is something that's difficult. This is important because God hates divorce. God hates it. Now, I understand maybe there's some in this room that you've been through that. And maybe there was no other option. Maybe there was infidelity. Maybe you just didn't want it, and it's difficult. God hates divorce. And if there's anything that we can do as a people to prevent divorce, that's what we want to do, right? It doesn't matter if you've been married 1 year or 50 years. Your marriage is something that can be improved, that you can work on, that you can benefit from talking about things. You know, most of the time when we hear a sermon on marriage, sometimes we present that sermon, when I say we, I know I have, we present that sermon in a way that sometimes you feel like, I'll never measure up to what he's saying. You know, we talk about all the things you've got to do, man, for a marriage to work, you've got to have that agape love, you've got to love them so much, and sometimes we say, well, I don't always love them like that, because sometimes we're hard to love, all of us. But agape love means I want what's best for you. It doesn't always mean that you have a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to always like your spouse. You can laugh at that if you want to, but sometimes you're not going to like them. But you got to love them. Did somebody say amen? Somebody's in big trouble. Big, big trouble. Amen, yeah. You're not always going to like them. Because sometimes we're unlikable people. Sometimes we just wake up, what we say, on the wrong side of the bed, and we're just in a mood, and for no good reason, but we've still got to want what's best for them. We've got to remember that. We've got to be committed. In order for marriage to work, you've got to be committed. And you've heard lesson after lesson on being committed and how, you know, Christ loved the church, and husbands, we got to love our wives like that. And we understand that. It's got to be a marriage wherein is selfless service. A marriage is never going to be 50-50. It never is. Sometimes you've got to give more. Sometimes you're going to take more. And we've got to understand that if you're going to have a marriage that works, you've got to be selfless. If you're a selfish person, marriage is not going to work. Here's what I want to do. I want to look on the real side of it. Conflict is going to happen. Anybody in here ever fought with their spouse? If I ask you to raise your hand, could everybody raise their hand? I was visiting, and again, I may have told you this through the years. I was visiting in a nursing home years ago, and I'd only been married a few years, and I was with another guy from Well-Ed, and we went and saw this older couple. And they were in there together, and we were talking, and we got to talking, and Hugh Wayne Clark was with me, and he looked at him, and he said, how long y'all been married? And it was, I don't remember, 50, 60 years, long time. He said, y'all ever had a fight? And they both looked at each other. They said, no, we've never fought. Man, I just wanted to crawl under the seat because I thought, I fight all the time. I've only been married a few years, you know. There's always something to fight about. And I thought, I'm doing something wrong. And we left, and I looked at Hugh Wayne, and I said, man, I said, I can't believe they've never fought. And he looked at me, and he said, you do remember why they're in a nursing home. I thought, didn't think about that part. They didn't know what day it was. They didn't remember if they'd fought or not. And I'm not making light of that, but the fact is, we've all fought. We all are going to have conflict. In fact, the Bible talks about conflict. And you and I need to learn about conflict. And Adam and Eve had conflict within their marriage. The first home, God is the one that is teaching and instructing them. And they had conflict. They had conflict. And because of their conflict, all of us have conflict. Genesis 3:16, the Bible says, there God speaking to Eve, your desire shall be your husband. You are going to submit to him. And at the end of that verse, he says, your husband's going to rule over you. And we have abused those roles. And because we have abused those roles, a lot of times, conflict stems out of that. So the first conflict bred all the conflict that we have now. But everybody has conflict. Abraham and Sarah had conflict. We've talked about it before. Sarah concocts an idea. Abraham, you go sleep with a handmaid and you'll get that son that God had promised. Abraham does it. What does Sarah do? She gets mad at him. He did exactly what she said, but she gets mad at him. There's conflict. Jacob and Rachel. Rachel, there was conflict within that marriage because Rachel could not have children and she's yelling at Jacob, and Jacob is yelling back at her, I'm not God, I can't do this. Can you imagine? Man, they're going at it. They have conflict. Brethren, you and I are going to have conflict. We need to stop portraying having a perfect marriage because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as two people having an absolutely perfect marriage and never having a cross word. If you're going into marriage thinking that's going to happen, you're in big, big trouble. You're in big trouble. Because I promised it's going to happen. Listen, I know people that's been in the church for years, and I could tell you stories on them, and you'd be amazed that they have told me. And you realize, I think that's one of the best things that we do. I think sometimes within the church, those of you especially that's been married a long time, if you would share a little bit of that with those that's not been married that long, tell them about your difficulties. Tell them about the time you threw the dishes at them and broke them against the... I don't know what you did. But tell them and don't be ashamed of it because you learn from it. You learn from it. Trials is what makes us the people that we are. And within our marriages, that's what makes our marriage stronger. It's how we handle those difficult times. And that's what I want to talk about. And you guys are welcome to comment all you want to. You can even tell stories. That's okay. You might get in trouble at home, but you're welcome to tell the story. Because again, it might could help. What about when conflict arises? What do we do? What do we do? What do most people do? When times get hard. I mean, when it just seems like you cannot get along and things are just not going well and maybe she's burned supper three nights in a row and he's not taking out the trash 3 days in a row, and you feel like you can't stand each other anymore, and you go and you just quit, right? And on the divorce papers, what do you put? Irreconcilable differences. Does people do that? Well, we just can't get along, and we just can't agree, so therefore we quit. Does that fix anything? No, not at all. In fact, I can tell you something about my wife and I, and she'll tell you the same thing. We've talked about this numerous times through the years. When we got married, we knew can't divorce. So no matter how bad it's gotten, and it's always been rosy for her, I get to teach, see. No, in all truthfulness, no, I've not always been a good husband. Still not from time to time. But we've always known you don't quit. It's not an option. And we've talked about that with one another. It's not an option to walk away and say, that's it. It's over. And when our children, you know, two of my children are married now. And I told both of them that when they got married. you're married now. It's not an option to quit. It's not an option. You don't throw in the towel when it gets hard. You just keep on going. We don't quit at other things in our life, do we? Well, a lot of people do. See, that's the problem. We live in a society today where if it doesn't work, oh well, find another one. Maybe it'll work next time. You older people, you didn't live in that kind of society. When you grew up, you got married and you knew it was a commitment. And nowadays, we don't teach people that. And maybe we need to teach people that even more, of how it is a lifelong commitment. It's just like becoming a Christian. Don had on the screen this morning, count the cost of becoming a Christian. You sit down before you do it and you decide, am I going to finish this? We need to teach people today before they're married, hey, you don't quit. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. The Bible tells us don't do that. He says you've got to persevere, James 1, 3, and 4, and Romans 5, 3, and 4 tells us the same thing. Perseverance is what brings us to the people that we need to be. So first and foremost, you've got to realize, and I've got to realize, you don't quit. Maybe right now your marriage is struggling. Maybe you're going through a difficult patch. Number one thing I want to tell you is you don't quit. Don't ever quit. Now, like I said, there may come a point of infidelity, but we hope it doesn't come to that. But for anything short of that, you don't quit. You don't give up. In fact, here's something else that I told my kids. I told my son just the other day, I said, now when you get married, you make your own home. You don't come back home. When you say I do, you don't come back home. It's not the way it works. But you see, a lot of times today, we've got parents telling their children, you can always come back home. No. All that does is breeds the first one. Quit and come back and it'll be okay. No, the Bible says you leave and you cleave. We don't come back home. You no longer are a part of that home, but you have made your own home. So if anybody's in the audience today or listening online, you got to realize that. When you made that decision and you decided to be that person's husband or wife, that's where you belong. And there's no coming back home. Mom and daddies, we've got to understand that. And I have to understand that now, especially when I got two children married. I don't interfere with their home. That's their home. And I want to push them to make that home as good as it can possibly be. And I never want to step in the middle of that home. But so many times that happens. And so many times that's where the problems come in. It's sometimes people want to go back to mom and daddy, and that's just not the way it works. That's not the way God intended. Sometimes we sow bad seeds. I want to ask you a question that I hope you don't get wrong. If you want to grow corn, what seed do you plant, Art? Boy, I was hoping you was going to say that. That's obvious, right? If I want to grow some watermelons, my grandfather was known as growing the biggest, best watermelons in Willette. He planted watermelon seeds every time because he knew he would get a watermelon. I want to ask you something. Sometimes do we plant bad seeds in our marriages and expect to grow something different? Do we? I was reading an article just this morning. And within that article, it talked about the fact that there was a woman who wanted her husband to be more affectionate to her, so she would criticize him every day to get him to be more affectionate to her. What do you think the end result of that was? Drove him away. But you see, that's what we do, right? We want something from our spouse, so therefore we try to figure out a way in our warped mind of how to get it. All right, let's talk about us men. Maybe us men, we want that intimate time with our wife. And maybe she's not doing what we think, so what do? Let's be honest, we pout up like babies, don't we? Sometimes. Some of you laughing, but you know it's true. You know it's true. What does that grow? Not what we desire, right? Not what we desire. You see, we've got to understand the Bible says we reap what we sow. And that's true in every facet of our lives, even within our marriages. Sometimes our marriages get troubled. And I was speaking to a friend a few years ago. I was trying to help him out. And I said, if you want this thing to work, I said, you're going to really have to get in there and you're going to have to try to plant some good seeds. And I said, and maybe it'll work. He called me in a few weeks and he said, well, I did what you said. I took her out and I was real nice. Didn't help a thing. And I said, well, how many times did you do that? Well, once. That's why I put them on the screen. It takes time. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What if Art over here planted that corn seed, and then he went out the next day and he says, don't have any corn, I quit. You're not going to eat much corn, are you? No. It takes time, right? It takes time you have to cultivate the soil and you have to water the seed and it has to take sunlight and all of those things. We understand that in the seed principle, but what about in our marriage life? If we want a different result in our marriage, you can't be nice one time and expect everything to be hunky-dory, can you? You're going to have to continue to plant that good seed and water that good seed and cultivate that good seed every day of your life if you're going to expect a different result. And we've got to understand that. We cannot expect things to go our way when we are negatively influencing the marriage. It doesn't work. Like I said, anytime any of you want to chime in and say something, that'd be great. See, we've got to understand these things. That's the only way our marriages are going to survive conflict. What about this one? Say you and your spouse, you have a big blow up. You have a big blow up and man, you are upset. And you are angry. And maybe one of you ladies, you call your best friend, you will say, you wouldn't believe what he did. And then you get on Facebook and you put it on Facebook. You guys won't believe what my husband did. What's going to happen to that husband? I would tell you what would happen to me. I'd be very upset. And then I would be less likely to try to work on the problem. You see, my wife and I have always talked about our problems need to stay between who? Us. As much as absolutely possible. I don't want her going and tell everyone else how sorry I am. While that may be true, I don't want her telling that. And she doesn't want me telling anything on her. And none of you sitting in this room wants that to happen. If you're going to have a conflict, and you are going to have that conflict, keep it in-house. If at all possible, keep it in-house. And especially, don't broadcast it on social media. I've seen that too many times, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Why would you do this? You're sowing a seed. Go back to the last one. That's going to have a disastrous result. We do not do that. The Bible says, if thy brother sins against thee, go tell him your fault between thee and he alone. And if he will hear you, you've gained your brother. And that would apply to marriage just like it would apply to the church. We've got to work on these things in-house. Because this is my home. And I want my home to be as good as absolutely possible. You know, sometimes you've got those problems and maybe you try to keep those problems in-house and you've worked on those problems within yourselves and maybe you're not getting the desired result. Then it's time to seek counsel. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens one another. Maybe you find yourself in that situation and it's not getting better no matter what you try. We've got a guy that was talked about a lot before he came here. He's back there in the back. I'll pick on him. He's got a degree in counseling, I think. And I can remember Larry getting up here and say, we're excited about Don coming because, man, he can really help with this counseling thing. And I'm going to add to your workload, brother. Is that all right? If you need some help, find him. If you need some help, find somebody else. It doesn't matter to me. But if you cannot work out that problem, find somebody to help you. I'm not talking about broadcasting your problems around town. I'm not talking about calling and telling mom and daddy. And I'm talking about finding some counsel. And for us men especially, that may mean we have to swallow some of that pride. Anybody struggle with that besides me? Probably so. Sometimes we might just have to swallow that pride. And like I said, we don't like to admit that we need help. And we don't, I'm speaking to me, I don't like for anybody to know anything about my issues. I don't like that. I don't like telling anybody my problems. There may come a day that I may need to. And I hope if there is, I would swallow that pride and do that for the sake of my marriage, because number one, at the top of your screen, that's not an option. We don't quit. So we do whatever it takes to get through, because God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16. It's not an option other than adultery. Keep going. Don't put off the conflict resolution. You guys ever had a fight and at the end of the night, you go in one room and she goes in another room and you just don't speak for a day or two, right? Nobody's ever did that, right? None of you guys. Bunch of liars. We're all going to do that from time to time. We're going to struggle and we're not going to want to talk to each other. Sometimes we don't even want to see each other. Like I said, we're not always even going to like each other. But we still have to love each other. And I still have to want what's best for that person. And I cannot quit. So the best thing I do is look to the Bible. Where the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You know what happens when we have a bad conflict in our marriage and we've just come to a crossroads and we put off doing anything about it? Verse 27 tells us we give place to the devil. We crack the door open for the devil and we give him a foothold. And the longer we put off that conflict resolution, the more the devil creeps in. And the more temptation there is for something to come between that marriage. How many couples do you think have had a knockdown, drag-out fight and they've put off resolution and they have reached out to someone else to fill that void? Think that's ever happened? All the time. And it's allowed to happen because we put it off. We decided we weren't going to really do anything about it. Maybe we just talk about it later. And I don't know, maybe you're the kind that you just need to cool off for a moment before you talk. That's okay. If you need to cool off so you don't blow up, that's okay. But cool off and then get back in there and deal with it. Doesn't matter if it's 2:00 in the morning. Get back in there and deal with it. Because that is the vows that you made. I'm going to be with you in sickness and in health, richer or poor. No matter what it is, whether good times or bad times, marriage is not always going to be good times. Man, there's going to be some hard times, hard times. And we've got to realize that. You ever feel like within a marriage that maybe you're competing against one another? I've seen that. And in my younger years, I think I did that. I think I was not so much worried about my spouse as I was worried about what I wanted to do. And I wanted my time. And my time was more valuable to me than her time was. So when we were younger and married, you know, I wanted to go and do everything else when I got off work. And that was my time. And I was in a competition. And maybe you find yourself in that competition and maybe you are vowing for who gets more free time. Maybe you are in a competition for who gets to spend more money. You realize probably money is maybe the biggest problem in marriages and how much you spend of it. Probably so. And you see, the Bible says we can't do that. We're not in a competition of who's going to get to spend the allowance for this week. If that's the way your marriage is working, that's not going to work. Rather, the Bible says the two became one flesh. You are of the same team. You're to have the same purpose. You're to have the same mindset. You should have the same goals. You should be aspiring for the same things. It's not who can get this and who can get that. It's not the way it works. And if that is the way your marriage is working, I promise you it's not going to function the way God designed it. That's just not it. We cannot be in a competition with one another. That doesn't work. We're on the same team, and you don't compete with your teammates. That's not the way it works. What about cheap shots? Let's see, I remember listening to Sammy Jones was here, I don't know, several years ago, and I've got the CDs at home, and I've listened to them several times, and I think he called this, it just slipped my mind. He called it gaslighting, I think's what he called it. And he talked about that you and I, as married couples, we know how to push each other's buttons, don't we? Hollis, I bet you know how to push Francis's buttons, don't you? I'll pick on Hollis here. And Miss Francis, you know what to say to make him mad. I know you do. You've been together a long time. And that goes for every one of us. Every one of us, you know what makes your spouse the most upset, don't you? You know what those words are. You know what you can call them, whatever it may be. You know what it is that you can do that will just set their blood boiling. And we reserve those, don't we? Be honest. We reserve those things until we are the most upset at them. Then what do? We pull them out of our pocket and we use them, right? Why? Because we're mad at them. And when you're mad at somebody, you want to hurt them, right? Is that biblical? Matthew 7:12, the Bible says, therefore, as you would have men do unto you, do you also unto them, for this is the law of the prophets. The golden rule, treat other people like you want to treat them. And the Bible, we just talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, to be like Jesus when he was threatened. He threatened not again. He didn't try to retaliate on people that mistreated him. He didn't do any of that. He never took a cheap shot. So why do you and I do that? You ever took a cheap shot on your spouse in front of other people? Probably so, right? Maybe you said that thing that you knew would make them most upset. Have I ever done that? I'm not proud of it. Yeah. Yeah. You say that thing to really put them down in front of someone else. That's not going to build up our marriage. That's not going to help you through a conflict. That's not going to make your marriage stronger. I can guarantee that. It will not help your marriage, not one bit. All it's going to do is going to upset that other person. And if you don't believe me, go back to the third one. All you're doing is sowing a bad seed. That's all you're doing. And expect bad results. Every time you sow a bad seed, expect it. What about unrealistic expectations? What if my wife decided that she wanted her a man with a head full of hair? That's unrealistic. I wish. I guess I could grow it out from the back and pull it all the way up, but that's not going to look too good. But sometimes do we do that? Sometimes do we expect things out of one another that are very unrealistic? Yeah. Sometimes we want our spouse to just, you know, do everything perfect, but we ourselves, we're just kind of a slob, right? And we don't try to do anything. So we're asking too much. Sometimes in our marriages, that's what we do. And I think especially in the age of social media, where everything is projected as absolute perfection, sometimes that's what we want. You know, we see all of these people on TV and our phones and our computers, and man, they look like $1 million, but they've had $1 million worth of surgery to look like $1 million. And you see, sometimes we want that for ourselves, or we want that for our spouses, and it's unrealistic. We want our spouse to behave a certain way, to just to do a certain thing. And Romans 3 says all of us are going to always fall short of everything. Nobody can ever measure up to perfection. So don't expect perfection. In fact, don't expect perfection in that your spouse will never do anything to upset you, will never do anything to make you upset at them or whatever it may be. Never do anything to disappoint you is what I was trying to say. We're going to disappoint one another. So you've got to realize, and you've got to have realistic expectations. You are two human beings, very imperfect people, that are striving to make a home. And you've got to realize that. And you've got to realize the last one, we've got to learn to forgive each other. We've got to learn. You say, well, that's a given. Of course we forgive each other. Ephesians 4:32, the Bible tells us, as Christ forgave, we're to forgive. And we get that. But let me ask you something. Does Christ forgive differently than we do? Don't you think about that just for a moment. Does He forgive differently than we do? Hebrews 10, verse 17, their sins and their iniquities. Can you might finish that? I will remember no more. Does Christ forgive differently than we do? Because what do? We kind of do them like those cheap shots, right? We take that time they wronged us, and we put it in our hip pocket. And when do we bring it out? When we need to. You ever done that? Next time you get mad at them, Miss Brenda says, poor Jerry. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what we do. We bring it back up. But the Bible says I am to forgive like Christ. I've got to learn. I've got to learn within my home. My wife's not perfect. She's got to learn I'm not perfect. We both got to learn we are going to fail from time to time. Every one of you's got to learn that. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have days that you're not easy to love. You're going to have days that you are very selfish. You're going to have days that you say things that should never proceed out of your mouth. But I've got to understand, if I'm on the receiving end of that, I've got to have some grace. I've got to have a little mercy. Let me ask you something. How many of us would make it without a little grace and a little mercy? I don't know about you. I need a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. My marriage is not going to make it if I don't have a little bit more Christ in me, a little bit more grace, a little bit more mercy, and a little more understanding, and the ability to those times that I'm wronged to just throw them away. Don't ever bring it up again. You ever had someone bring up something from your past? I can remember it's been about a year or two ago. A guy brought up some things from my past right in front of my son. And I thought, man, why would you do that? I mean, that was 25 years ago. And I never want my children to know some of the things I've done in my life, and you probably are the same way. Why would people bring it up? Long been forgiven for that. Why do we do that to each other? It's never going to end in a good way when you do. You realize when we take, I've got some more slides, but our time is up. If you could take these however many things, I didn't even count them, however many things we've got on the screen right now, and if you can take those into the next time you have a conflict, and that next time may be on the way home, just to be honest, it may be. And we can laugh about it, and that's good, we can laugh, but the truth is, it's going to happen. Again, because we're human. And if you can take those things and you can just remember them, and put them into practice, I promise you, you will come out of that conflict better. That conflict will be resolved quicker, and your marriage will be stronger, because it's always going to happen. And we can't expect perfection. We can't stand up and preach perfection. None of us are perfect. We're just people striving to live for Him. I appreciate your attention this morning, and I guess you're dismissed till tonight.